Welcome. It's August 22nd, 2023. The time is 1953 Eastern Daylight Time, 1953 hours. That is Ward Green with you again. Now, little children, our study for today begins with Carl Jung saying, "Man needs difficulties. They are necessary for health." Isn't that a little bit surprising, perhaps? It certainly seems that many people wouldn't think of that. It seems that way to me, including myself. And when we're doing these studies, we are studying together. It's not me teaching. It's not merely that at all. I'm trying to learn at the same time as you are, hopefully, if you're with us. Hopefully you're trying to learn. The Chinese philosopher Confucius, very famous Chinese philosopher, said, "Roads were made for journeys, not destinations." How profound is that? I love traveling. I just love traveling. I was out driving the other day in my refurbished Accord, and I just remembered how much I love traveling, especially driving, I guess. But Mark Twain said, "I have found out that there ain't no surer way to find out whether you like people or hate them, than to travel with them." There ain't no surer way to find out whether you like people or hate them than to travel with them. Our clip from Root Cause, the 2018 documentary now.
Data we've just recently gotten.
Stop. I want 25% boost on this. And I want this running, here we go.
Shows now that the number one cause of heart attack is a root canal treated tooth. Plain and simple, not correlation, not link, cause and effect.
If you take a course through Bail and Donin, and they're the leaders in cardiovascular event prevention, they will tell you they will not condone having a root canal in your mouth, because that bacteria courses through your body and that bacteria is known to affect cardiovascular disease.
My pet peeve as a cardiologist right now is that so many family practitioners, internal medicine practitioners, cardiologists, my fellow cardiologists, see a patient that has a heart attack and they find the cholesterol's okay, the lipids are okay, there's no high blood pressure, there's no risk factors, and they might not use these words with the patients, but they're just going to tell you, and they think that patient just had bad luck.
Most of these things aren't genetic problems. You know, this person for the first 25 or 50 years of their life was okay. Now they're not. This isn't your genes. This is your body's toxic. And if we can restore those things, you can get your health back and your energy back, and you can have a fun life.
Wow, how profound that is. How that rings true to anyone who's done cleansing, body cleansing, or treatments with let's say just vitamins even. But I mean, I'm just talking about vitamins and minerals. And you see how the body cleanses itself and can rid itself of so many different things, or even someone who's done fasting and how the body cleanses itself. It's so remarkable. Okay, our song for today is from 1994. It's Alan Jackson. And it was a number one hit on the charts back in 1994 on the Canada RPM, number one. The U.S. Bubbling Under Hot 100 singles. Bubbling Under Hot 100. Number one, that's a Billboard chart. And the U.S. Billboard chart called, trying to clear my throat here, Hot Country Songs, I better drink some water, was number one on the Billboard Hot Country Songs chart in 1994. This is a song written by and performed by Mr. Alan Jackson from 1994, Living on Love.
Thank you. just what they need, living on love. She don't care about what's in style, she just likes the way you smile. It takes more than marble and tile, living on love. Living on love, buying on time, without somebody nothing ain't worth a dime. Just like an old-fashioned storybook rhyme, living on love. It sounds simple, that's what you're thinking. But love can walk through fire without blinking. It doesn't take much when you get enough, living on love. Side by side in that front porch swing, living on love. He can't sue anymore. She can barely sweep the floor. Hand in hand, they'll walk through that door, just living on love. Living on love, buying on time, without somebody, nothing ain't worth a dime. Just like an old-fashioned storybook ride, living on love. It sounds simple, that's what you're thinking. But love can walk through fire without blinking. And it doesn't take much when you get enough, living on love. Living on love, buying on time, without somebody, nothing ain't worth a dime. Just like an old-fashioned storybook rhyme, living on love. Well, it sounds simple, that's what you're thinking. But love can walk through fire without blinking. And it doesn't take much, you get enough, living on love.
There's just a smoldering passion in that song, a smoldering fire and joy in that song. It just the way that you can feel it bubbling underneath the surface. And by the way, speaking of yesterday's song, the Led Zeppelin best song of all time, perhaps, Stairway to Heaven. It's a great song. When I said I didn't like it at first, I don't think I meant that song. I was wrong if I meant that song. I think Stairway to Heaven is one of the songs that I liked the first time I heard it. You know, I mean, I just loved it even the first time, I think. But I was really probably thinking more about all the other Led Zeppelin songs, which many of them are so unconventional that I just, you know, I didn't have any way to latch onto them and enjoy them the first time I heard them. They were just very, they sounded, you know, almost demonic or something. They didn't sound, but really, like, didn't sound like music even to me. Most of what Led Zeppelin was doing. Now, there's other probably exceptions too, in addition to, what's that? Who sings that song? I think there is another Led Zeppelin song that I liked first time. Now I'm choking on something, probably coconut. The little bits of coconut get into your throat and it causes you to be tickled a bit. Our article for today, once again, same as yesterday, Born and Raised, Chapter 5, this time paragraph 4. Friends, It is possible, using known civic records contemporary with those times, to establish the likelihood of facts and to occasionally interpolate between various... I can't talk. Between various dates. Just came up. My voice just... just started going now into a funny... It's possible to occasionally interpolate between various dates using contemporary civic records. The credibility of the source is of utmost importance, so whenever an unsupported fact is stated, such as the fact of Quirinius as governor of Syria, it brings into question the reliability of the source, known as Luke. The question becomes, can we verify the factual claim? There's a well-known census in 6 or 7 CE on the opposite, on our side of the Common Era, when Quirinius was governor of Syria, but this is too late for Jesus. Luke 1 and 5 shows that it was while Herod was still alive, which would be before BCE 4, that John the Baptizer was conceived by Zechariah's wife Elizabeth, or at least certainly on the side of the Common Era in the BCE years. And that was when, on that side, of in the pre-Common Era, that John the Baptizer was conceived by Zechariah's wife Elizabeth. And Jesus was implanted by Holy Spirit into the womb of Mary merely months later, something like 5 or 6 months. So the census that occurred at the time Jesus was born occurred before the turn of the Common Era, not after. It was in the BCE years, before the turn of the Common Era. The question now is, did Quirinius govern Syria twice? Did he govern Syria twice? For Luke's knowledge does not justify a presumption of error by the substitution of one census for the other. In other words, we know that Luke knows a lot of things. On the other hand, if such is so, as Sir William says, that's the author of the book about the book of Luke, Sir William Ramsay, he says, the writer who mistakes fable for fact, and tries to prop up his mistake by an error of the grossest kind can retain no credit as an historical authority. Let's read that again. The writer who mistakes fable for fact and tries to prop up his mistake by an error of the grossest kind can retain no credit as an historical authority. It's because my voice has a tickle, because I have a tickly throat right now, I can't read because I get fearful of when that tickle is going to arrive. This person who mistakes fable for fact and tries to prop up his mistake by an error of the grossest kind can retain no credit as an historical authority. That's the end of that quote and the end of our chapter. Paragraph 4. It's not the end of the chapter, it's the end of the paragraph. Paragraph 4 of chapter 5. And now, little ones, Proverbs 14 and 7, our proverb for today. Go away from in front of the stupid man, not the man with a tickly throat, the stupid man, for you will certainly not take note of the lips of knowledge. Go away from in front of the stupid man. Those are good words of advice, and I wish I'd learned them when I was far younger than I did. I learned those words far too late in life, probably after I was... I think after I was in my mid-20s, and maybe I only learned those words when I was in my 30s. That's when I think I learned that principle for the first time, really. And it's a very valuable principle. I wish I'd learned it much sooner, as I just said. So, from our Bible study for today, Deuteronomy 13, this is a very serious chapter. Moses, again, on the plains opposite Jericho, across the Jordan River, speaking to the Israelites. just before, or fairly shortly before they enter the Promised Land under Joshua's leadership, Moses says to the Israelites, in case a prophet, this is part of the Mosaic Law that Moses gave to the Israelites. Let's read it, if I can get my throat straight. It's a real tickly throat. I have to apologize. I don't know where that came from, although the chuckle balls probably does it. Sometimes it could be an allergy to something in the ingredients. In case a prophet or a dreamer of a dream arises in your midst and does give you a sign or a portent, and the sign or the portent does come true, of which he spoke to you, saying, let us walk after other gods whom you have not known, and let us serve them. You must not listen to the words of that prophet or to the dreamer of that dream, because Jehovah your God is testing you to know whether you are loving Jehovah your God with all your heart and all your soul. After Jehovah your God you should walk, and him you should fear, and his commandments you should keep, and to his voice you should listen, and him you should serve, and to him you should cling. And that prophet or that dreamer of the dream should be put to death, because he has spoken of revolt against Jehovah your God, who has brought you out of the land of Egypt and has redeemed you from the house of slaves, to turn you from the way in which Jehovah your God has commanded you to walk, and you must clear out what is evil from your midst. In case your brother, the son of your mother, or your son, or your daughter, or your cherished wife, or your companion, who is like your own soul, should try to allure you in secrecy, saying, let us go and serve other gods, whom you have not known, neither you nor your forefathers, some of the gods of the peoples who are all around you, the ones near you or those far away from you, from one end of the land to the other end of the land, you must not accede to his wish or listen to him. Excuse me, my throat again. Nor should your eye feel sorry for him, nor must you feel compassion, but you should kill him without fail. Your hand, first of all, should come upon him to put him to death, and the hand of all the people afterward. And you must stone him with stones, and he must die because he has sought to turn you away from Jehovah your God, who has brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slaves. Then all Israel will hear and become afraid, and they will not do anything like this bad thing again in your midst. In case you hear it said in one of your cities which Jehovah your God is giving you to dwell there, good for nothing men have gone out from your midst, that they may try to turn away the inhabitants of their city, saying, let us go and serve other gods, whom you have not known. You must also search and investigate and inquire thoroughly, and if the thing is established as the truth, this detestable thing has been done in your midst, you should without fail strike the inhabitants of that city with the edge of the sword. Devote it and everything that is in it and its domestic animals to destruction at the edge of the sword. And all its spoil you should collect into the middle of its public square. You must burn in the fire of the city and all its spoil. And you must burn in the fire of the city. You must burn in the fire the city and all its spoil as a whole offering, a burnt offering, a whole offering to Jehovah your God, and it must become a heap of ruins to time indefinite. It should never be rebuilt, and nothing at all should stick to your hand of the thing made sacred by ban. This is another way things can be made sacred, is by ban, in order that Jehovah may turn from his burning anger and may indeed give you mercy. And he may certainly show you mercy and multiply you, just as he has sworn to your forefathers. For you should listen to the voice, I was going to say the word, for you should listen to the voice of Jehovah your God by keeping all his commandments that I am commanding you today, so as to do what is right in the eyes of Jehovah your God. That's the end of Deuteronomy 13. Now to Galatians chapter 4. Right. I need to check something. A second here. We did, yes. Yesterday we did Galatians 3. Rather than reading it and checking it that way, I just wanted to see by checking the file name and so on. Okay. So this is Paul again writing to the Galatians. This is chapter 4. We saw that he mentioned in chapter 1, in verse 6, Paul marveled that the Galatians were being quickly removed from the one who called them with Christ's undeserved kindness over to another sort of good news. So they were being told something different from what they were or had been originally taught about the good news. So now, chapter 4. Now I say, Paul writing to the Galatians, that as long as the heir, H-E-I-R, is a babe, he does not differ at all from a slave. An heir is somebody who gets an inheritance. He does not differ at all from a slave, lord of all things though he is, when he's a babe. But he is under men in charge, and under stewards until the day his father appointed beforehand. Likewise, we also, when we were babes, continued enslaved by the elementary things belonging to the world. But when the full limit of the time arrived, God sent forth his Son, who came to be out of a woman and who came to be under law, that he might release by purchase those under law, that we in turn might receive the adoption as sons. Now, because you were sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, and it cries out, Abba, Father. Abba being the Hebrew word for father. So then you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, also an heir through God. H-E-I-R, heir. Nevertheless, when you did not know God, then it was that you slaved for those who by nature are not gods. But now that you have come to know God, or rather, now that you have come to be known by God, how is it that you are turning back again to the weak and beggarly elementary things and want to slave for them over again? You are scrupulously observing days and months and seasons and years. People who celebrate holidays and anniversaries and, you know, dreadful pagan celebrations. I fear for you that somehow I have toiled to no purpose respecting you. I don't want to name the celebrations because for many people they have great fondness for these celebrations. Brothers, I beg you, become as I am, because I used to be also as you are. You did me no wrong, but you know that it was through a sickness in my flesh I declared the good news to you the first time. And what was a trial to you in my flesh, you did not treat with contempt or spit at in disgust, but you received me like an angel of God, like Christ Jesus. Where then is that happiness you had? For I bear you witness that if it had been possible, you would have gouged out your eyes and given them to me. Well then, have I become your enemy because I tell you the truth? They zealously seek you, not in a fine way, but they want to shut you off from me, that you may zealously seek them. However, it is fine for you to be zealously sought for in a fine cause at all times, and not only when I am present with you, my little children, with whom I am again in childbirth pains until Christ is formed in you. But I could wish to be present with you just now and to speak in a different way, because I am perplexed over you. Tell me, you who want to be under law, do you not hear the law? For example, it is written that Abraham acquired two sons, one by the servant girl and one by the free woman. But the one by the servant girl was actually born in the manner of flesh, the other by the free woman through a promise. These things stand as a symbolic drama, for these two women mean two covenants, the one from Mount Sinai, which brings forth children for slavery, and which is Hagar. That's the Mosaic law. Now this Hagar, It's just an illustration. Hagar symbolizes the Mosaic Law. Now, this Hagar means Sinai, a mountain in Arabia, which is the mountain where the law was given by Moses. And she, you know, we know it's not Mount Sinai of the traditional idea of what Sinai is, at least not from what we've studied. We've identified it as Mount Serbal. It still could be called Mount Sinai because it's in the Sinai Peninsula. It's in Arabia, it says there. And this Hagar corresponds with the Jerusalem today, for she is in slavery in Paul's day with her children. They were slaves to the Mosaic Law covenant, which could never free them from sin. They were slaves to sin. But the Jerusalem above is free, and she is our mother. Verse 27, for it is written, be glad, you barren woman who does not give birth. Break out and cry aloud, you woman who does not have childbirth pains. For the children of the desolate woman are more numerous than those of her who has the husband. End quote. It's a quote starting with be glad there in verse 27. And it's from Isaiah 54 and 1. Now we, brothers, are children belonging to the promise, the same as Isaac was. But just as then, the one born in the manner of flesh began persecuting the one born in the manner of spirit, so also now. Ishmael persecuted Isaac. Ishmael was the son of Hagar. Isaac was the son of Sarah. Nevertheless, what does the scripture say? Drive out the servant girl and her son, for by no means shall the son of the servant girl be an heir with the son of the free woman. End quote. And that's from Genesis 21 and 10. Wherefore, brothers, we are children, not of a servant girl, but of the free woman. That's the end of Galatians chapter 4. Thanks for listening. I hope you enjoyed it. Our study for today concludes now. We have 5 minutes remaining. Yes. Some interesting discoveries have been made. I found out that both of my front assembly, marker light assemblies, that is, in my car had been sabotaged somehow. And the one on the driver's side, which I had not checked until yesterday, excuse me, I was drinking a lot of water, eating some coconut balls, just had a little bit of and necessary to pass a little air from my stomach. So what happened was, yeah, I discovered the assembly on the right-hand side was broken. Now, it's just plastic. It had been broken where whoever did the sabotage had forgotten to take out the screw before trying to pull the assembly out. So it just snapped off in a nice clean break, but I was able to glue it with epoxy. If my gluing was done right, it should be almost as good as new now, maybe better than new, because epoxy can do an amazing, incredible job. It's stronger than the materials themselves, especially with the case of, well, I'm more familiar with wood as a gluing. This is plastic, but I think it's going to be stronger than the plastic probably. But maybe not, but still possibly. It just depends on the quality of how the gluing was done. That the glue was combined in the right exact half and half mixture of resin to hardener for the two-part epoxy that I used. And also, you know, the fact that it was not moved while it was hardening. Because if it's moved during the time when the fibers are forming in the epoxy, then that destroys the bond in the epoxy, and also the surfaces that are being glued and to which the epoxy is being applied must be clean. And it was such a clean break, and there was no evident dirt whatsoever on the actual surfaces. I didn't need to clean it or anything. I just glued it. So it's going to be marvelous. I could have tried to clean it if I thought it was necessary, but that unit should be as good as new. But I still, the only problem my car has now, I've isolated and figured out where all the fuses are, which I didn't know before. If you look at the diagrams closely, you can determine which each fuse is and what it does and why there are certain fuses missing from your fuse box because your car doesn't have those features, for example. You can figure it all out using the diagrams that can be found online for that model year. In my case, anyway, I could find them. So, but I also had to, I couldn't do it until I talked to several Honda dealers and got just a broad spectrum of information that I could use to help me narrow these things down, to just get me on track. I couldn't identify which fuse box it was because it didn't look the same, and the labels of all the fuses were totally different from what was shown on the chart I got online. You know, it was a chart, it was a drawing of the fuse box, and a list of all the fuses and what circuits they were inserted into, but the labels of what the different fuses were supposed to be controlling were different for almost every case, so I couldn't even recognize that that was the fuse box I was looking for. And only when I finally got somebody from one of the Honda dealers to help me, just by jarring me into realizing that I might be actually, and it was mislabeled. The fuse box I was looking for was mislabeled as the wrong number, so I was not willing to assume that was the one. But once he made me realize that's the fuse box, that was what turned the tide. You know how, you know, do you think that being of good intent is sufficient to heal somebody or to help them? Just imagine a baby trying to heal or help. You can imagine a baby trying to heal or trying to help an insect on the ground. What can happen? Or a baby trying to help another form of life, one of the smaller forms like an insect or a toad or frog. Is it not very easy for that baby to injure that or even kill that creature, even though the baby's well-meaning? So when we look at our healthcare system today, we can compare that to the idea of trying to heal somebody, and to the baby, trying to help somebody without having the requisite knowledge, because nobody understands the human organism, to be honest. Nobody does. And even those who are on the forefront are vilified. Those who really know the most still know nothing, but they're being vilified because they know more than the ones who are like the babies who are trying to help everybody. And the mainstream conventional healthcare are like the babies. So this is Ward Green, August 22nd, 2023. I love you all. Have a wonderful day. Bless you and keep you, children of the spiritual Israel. August 22nd, 2023, 2026 hours Eastern Daylight Time. In my behalf, it's Crow and Cassie, my Casio digital watch, saying, she's so dark you can't even see her. Bye for now.